We continue our learning. We nishmas David b'Menachem Shem Nechan Yaakov b'Pidrus Eliyahu. We are in Bava Basra, Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel. Hamocher Yain l'Chaveru v'Hechmitz. You have a case where Reuven sold Shimon wine, and it turned into vinegar before after Shimon brought it home. Eino chayv b'achrayuso, the seller, in this case Reuven, is not responsible to pay for it. And this would be true, we mentioned this in the past about buying wine. You may be buying wine for cooking, and cooking, that means you're going to be using a little bit at a time, and you may want it to for many months at a time. So clearly, if you're selling wine, if it's going to be used right away, not for cooking, you're going to drink it right away. Okay, so it could be that the expectation is you're going to drink it right away, you know, you waited too long, you turn it to vinegar. But here, even if he specified he's buying it for cooking, nonetheless, which would take, he would use it a little bit at a time, nonetheless, Shimon has no claim against Reuven. Why? Because Reuven can claim that, you know what, I'll tell you why. It's spoiled into vinegar because of the jugs, your own jugs, because the buyer poured the wine into his own jugs when he bought it. So the seller can say, you know why it turned into vinegar? Because of all the impurity that you may have in your jugs that cause the wine to spoil. But let's say, if it's known that this seller's wine usually turns into vinegar very quickly, if you don't consume it right away, then then, of course, if he bought it for the purposes of cooking, so then it's considered a mekartos, or he didn't specify, so the assumption is that he may be using it for cooking, so then that's a mekartos. That whole sale is null and void, and the seller has to refund the money, because the seller knows his wine doesn't stay well for a long time. Is not going to remain as wine, but it's going to turn into vinegar. So this somebody should have told the buyer, you have to use this the right away. You can't use it for cooking. One other point that's noteworthy is the whole case of the Mishnah is where which jugs are being used, the jugs of the buyer. So that's why in the first case where the mocher is mocher yayin chavei v'hechmitz eino chayv b'achrayuso, because he could claim it was in the buyer's kelim, but not true if it's in the mocher's kelim. It's in the mocher's kelim, so then the mocher can then the buyer can say it's your impurities that turn into vinegar. And maybe I bought it for cooking, and therefore they need to stay in those jugs that you gave me for a long period of time, and it should not have turned into vinegar. Then the Mishnah says, "Amar alo yain mevusam ani mocher lach." Let's say the seller said, "I'm selling you mevusam, spicy, flavorful, has a lot of flavor, superior wine, and it does not spoil quickly." Then says the Bartanur on that, "Darko alehiskayim adatzeres." It's mevusam means we're talking about wine that is going to last until the harvest of the grapes is usually after Sukkot time. So then, that's when we bring in the grapes. So then, for wine, it should be able to last some Sukkot to Shavuos umisham ve'elech hachomer kakol. But after Shavuos, we can assume that because of the heat of the summer, it's going to ruin the wine. So at least I'm selling you yain mevusam, so chayv lahamid l'ad atzeres. You have to provide wine that's going to keep and going to last until Shavuos. That's the expectation when you say, I'm selling you yayin mevusam, v'yashan. Let's say you're selling, the seller said, I'm selling you old wine, mishel eshtakad. That's wine that's from last year, meaning wine that was produced during the previous season. It's over a year old, and it's going to have to remain good until the end of the season right now. It has to last through the summer until Sukkot, which is the new grape harvest. Umiyushan, and if you say yushan, that's aged wine, difference than yashan. Yushan is mishel shakad. That's wine that's from two seasons ago. That's going to be 3 years old by the end of the current season, and that therefore has to last for 3 years, the two previous seasons, until the end of this season, until Sukkot. So this is part of the deal. When you say I'm selling you yain mevusam, it can't be mekachtos. You have to make sure the mevusam means it's going to last till Shavuos. If you say I'm selling you yain yashan, it has to be able to last till it has to be from last year, but it has to be able to last this year as well. And that's Yashan. And Yushan, aged wine, that's Mishel Shaloshanim, and has to be able to last until the end of the present season. Perek, Zvav, Mishnah, Dalet. Hamocher makom lachaveru livnos lo bayis. Person who sells a piece of property to his friend, so his friend will be able to build a house on it. Uvechein amekaba mechaveru livnos lo beis chasnus livno ubeis almanus levito. Or let's say someone accepts a contract from his friend, he's going to build a house for him. So, and he has to provide the area, the land, the lot, which is the proper size for that type of house that was that they contracted him to build. So, what does it mean to build a bias? What size is that bias? What size is a base chasnus? What size is a newlywed's house for his son, a base amanus, a widow's house for his daughter? So the Mishnah here says in all of these cases, bona arba amos al sheish. The assumption is that the lot has to have enough space to build a house that's 4 amos by 6 amos. That is considered the minimum size, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what a bias is, much smaller than our batim today. People made do with much less space inside, partially because a lot was done outside, the laundry was done outside, and cooking was done outside. But 4 by 6 amos, that's considered a bias. That's the words of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Refus Bakar, who's there? You're telling me that's the size of a house, that's a stable, that fits animals, that's a people don't live in such a... In a house that size, that's so small. And then he continues, Haratza Lasos Refes Bakar, a person who wants to build a stable of his animal, well, let's say he's accepting a contract to do so, Bona Arba Amos Al Sheish. So you build, it's 4 by 6. So if you want to build, as our Mishnah says, Beis Chasnus Livno, or Beis Amanus Levito, this wedding house for his son, for have the wedding and the Sheva Brochus afterwards, or Beis Amanus Levito for his daughter, but she's a widow, so she should have her own space. So that has to be a little bit larger than. Mishnah doesn't say how big it's supposed to be according to Rabbi Shmuel, but the assumption is it's going to be more than 4 by 6 amos. Then the Mishnah says, Bais Katan, if let's say the contract is for a small house, and this is also, if let's say you contract for a house in general, you don't specify the size, because this is the smallest house that would be built if it's not for the widow or a newlywed. So here the Mishnah says, Bona arba amo, bona, Bais Katan, Sheish al Shmonin. It's 6 by 8 amos. And gadol, if the contract is for a big house, so the lot has to be enough space to build shmone al eser. But it's able to build 8 by 10 amos. And traklin, eser al eser. If it's a mansion, so an ulam, auditorium, 10 by 10 amos, that's the size that we assume that the lot has to be in order to build a mansion that's 10 by 10 amos. Okay, so now we understand the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hamocher makom lachaver livnos lo bayis, or v'chein hamekabel mechaver livnos lo." So that doesn't mean that's not the average house. What that means is it all depends on what you're planning on building. Then the Mishnah gives the examples. Beis Chasnus Livno, Beis Amanus Levito. These are smaller areas, generally, according at least to the Tana Kama. So this is, it's enough to have space for 4 by 6 amos. That's enough. One person is going to be there. Maybe 2 people are going to be there. So 4 by 6 is enough according to Rabbi Akiva. So that, but a bias in general, house that's going to have a house of family, so then it depends if it's a bais katan or a bais gadol. So once again, bais chasnus livno, bais amos lito, that's 4 by 6 according to Rabbi Akiva. Bais katan is 6 by 8. A bais gadol is 8 by 10. And a traklin, a mansion, is 10 by 10. 10 by 10 amos. Then the Mishnah says, what about the height? Rumo kachatzi arko v'chatzi roch v'chachatzi roch. But the height of each of the houses has to be equal to half its length plus half its width. So take the example of the Beis Chasnus or the Beis Almanus. So there we said they have to be, the Mishnah said it has to be 4 by 6, so that would mean that the height is 5 amos. And a small house, which we said was 6 by 8, so then 7 amos high. And a large house, which was 8 by 10, has to be 9 amos high. And of course, a mansion that is going to be 10 amos high. Raya davar heichal, and a proof that the height should be chatzi arko v'chatzi rochbo, half the length plus half the width, is from the heichal itself, the heichal beis hamikdash that Shlomo Melech built was 40 amos long, 20 amos wide, and it was 30 amos tall. So that's the formula that we follow here as well. Shem gamli lomer hakol kabinyan heichal. When everyone builds a house, it's like they build a heichal. No, the heichal had a certain rule. Yes, it's true. We had Chatzi Arko v'Chatzi Rachba, who was 40 by 20 and therefore 30 amos high. That doesn't mean you have to build a house that way. So what should you do? It should depend on, and the Bar Turner says, V'chiach kol bonim b'kiminyan ha'echo, ein hadavar tovo, yele b'minag ha'medina. Whatever the b'minag ha'medina is, higher ceilings, lower ceilings, that's a higher roof, lower roof, that's the minhag that we follow.